You're listening to Interviews with Adam. I am your host, Adam Miller. And as we continue our way through the 12 days of Christmas, and we are thinking of those who we can be praying for and supporting, it's always a privilege to have Todd Nettleton from Voice of the Martyrs join us, as he does on a regular basis, to keep us updated on our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ around the world who are suffering for their faith. And this is a ministry that we support because we believe in the importance of the unified body of Christ collectively around the world, and especially as we're thinking about one another as a family during this holiday season, I think it is critically important to be thinking about our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world who do not have the luxuries we have to celebrate the birth of Christ openly. Todd, thank you so much for joining us and talking with us about what really needs to be brought up continually in front of us for our prayers and our support.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me, and thanks for reminding your audience on a regular basis about our persecuted family.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about why the holiday season is so full of distractions, number one, but also an opportunity for us to be reminded of those who are less fortunate?
Well, it is a busy time. I think of, you know, there's lots going on. There's holiday parties. There's end of year work that needs to get done before December 31st. There are extra church events and choir recitals and concerts. And all these are great things. But it can get in the sense of, wow, I've just got so much going on. I don't have time to think about Christmas. I don't have time to think about, wait a minute, what does this really mean? And I think about, in the Bible, there are several places where in the course of the Christmas story, it talks about everyone knew about this. You know, after John the Baptist was born and his father regained the ability to talk, it says, you know, everyone in the area was like, wow, they're talking about all these things, but they didn't necessarily know what it meant. And I think that can happen in America, too. We're all talking about Christmas. Yeah, we're talking about shopping, and we're talking about parties, and we're talking about all the stuff we got to get done. But are we missing out on what actually happened here? Jesus came to earth, God with us, Emmanuel. Those are things that I think can get lost, and I try to remind myself on a regular basis, wait a minute, there's lots of cool stuff going on, but it's not about the cool stuff. It's about Emmanuel, God with us.
And oftentimes, we get caught so much up in the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ that we're forgetting why he came into the world, because the angels declared to the shepherds peace on earth, and we certainly pray to that end, but we certainly don't see it happening in the world in which we're living. We kind of are outside of the great conflicts, but there are conflicts happening all over the world, and it can be very easy for us to lose sight of that.
It can be easy. And, you know, one of the things we don't often think about in the Christmas story is the persecution angle. You know, Joseph and Mary packed up and fled Bethlehem in the middle of the night because soldiers were coming to kill Jesus. And they ended up killing all of the babies, 2 years old and younger. And we don't really think about that aspect of the story where literally right now around the world, there are people who are following Jesus who are doing that. They're meeting in the middle of the night to avoid the police or avoid prying eyes. They're packing up and moving in the middle of the night to get away from the police, to get away from persecution. So that's a part of the Christmas story that we don't often think about, but for so many of our brothers and sisters around the world, that's reality. It's not something they just read about, oh, wow, they had to flee because of the soldiers. They think, oh, we have to flee because of soldiers too. So I hope as we comfortable American Christians are reading the story this year, maybe that'll kind of ring a bell and say, hey, I need to take a moment right now to pray for my brothers and sisters who are doing what Joseph and Mary did. They're hiding, they're running, they're fleeing because of persecution.
One of the things that I think is critically important is the aspect of really taking time to reflect on the reality, because we can get so lost during the holiday season in the kind of the illusions and the kind of mythology of Christmas that we disassociate ourselves, or we turn a blind eye to what is actually happening in the world. But your ministry is is exposing what is happening around the world, especially with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And I think about what is happening in the Middle East, in Syria, and in northern Iraq, and the families that have been broken, but also the families that are really just struggling. You've actually put together a packet of supplies that you're sending out to those families in northern Iraq. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about that?
We are one of the projects that we launched in 2016. And in fact, I had the incredible privilege of being a part of the team that went to northern Iraq to deliver the very first family med packs. We call it a family med pack. It is very simple. Somebody orders from us the med pack supplies. They get a plastic bag that's ready to be packed. They fill it, and it's, you know, medical supply, not like, you know, scalpels and surgery supplies, but basic medical supplies, Band-Aids, a little bit of antibiotic ointment, that kind of stuff, as well as some basic hygiene items, a toothbrush, a brush, a comb, maybe a washcloth. Very simple, very basic items that most of us could probably go to our medicine cabinet and pull out right now. But for a family that's had to flee everything, it is a supply cabinet. It's a medicine cabinet that they can take with them on the road as they go to maybe a displaced person camp. Now, with ISIS being moved back, they are actually, some of them are thinking about, okay, can we go home? Can we go back to our village that we had to flee from 2 years ago? But we are still delivering these family med packs, as well as Bibles, as well as other forms of aid to Christians who have been displaced by ISIS over the last 2.5 years.
One of the things I did over Christmas, Todd, was we did one of those white elephant exchanges, you know, where you pass out a gift that absolutely nobody could ever have any use for. And it's actually, you know, it's a lot of fun and it's funny. You laugh at it. You get a little joy from it. But we're talking about completely pointless and useless junk. And then we're talking about families that would be just so appreciative of something that we can just go down to the drugstore and get for a dollar.
Absolutely. And like you say, it is stuff that we so take for granted. If I cut myself, I know exactly where I can go get a Band-Aid. I know I have them. We always have them. That's not the case for somebody who's had to flee and leave everything behind. They left with the clothes on their backs. Sometimes even the clothes on their backs were stolen by the ISIS fighters. So this is very basic stuff, but it really does make a difference. And the other part of this is, you know, it's more than just a, hey, this will help you when you have a nick or a cut. It's more importantly, it is a connection point to say, hey, you're not alone in this. You're not forgotten in this. There are Christians around the world. There are Christians in the United States who remember you. They're praying for you, and they have given this as a way of helping you out during this difficult time. So that emotional boost and encouragement that comes when you say, hey, you're not alone in this, that really is a very significant part of the Family Med Pack project, is offering that encouragement and that sort of togetherness and unifying in the body of Christ around the world.
One of the things about Christmas that I really enjoy, and I had the opportunity this year, is to go home and visit my family. And obviously, it's not the home that I grew up in. My parents have moved since I left the house when I was 18. But it's still home in the sense that I'm with a family. And yet a lot of the families that we're talking about, a lot of our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world are displaced from their homes, especially there in those families from Syria, those families from northern Iraq. Can you give us a perspective on these? And this has been for multiple years, hasn't it? Some of these Christians have been without a home for many years.
Yeah, in many cases, they have fled their homes. You know, the other group that I'm really have been very conscious of this Christmas season is prisoners. And I think of Christians in prison for their faith. Earlier this week, I had the chance to meet with a lady from China. Her husband is in prison. And talking to her about that separation and that sense of, you know, my husband is in prison. I don't know when I'll see him again. I don't know what's happening with him. That has really weighed on me this Christmas season. I think of four men who are on trial in Sudan. Three of them are Sudanese. One of them is a Czech Christian aid worker who was delivering aid in Sudan when he was arrested. They have now been in prison more than a year. Their trial is continuing. In fact, they had a hearing on Monday. They supposedly will have another hearing next Monday. And We think there's going to be a verdict sometime soon, but we really don't know. There's no schedule. They haven't said how long the trial will take. They are separated from their families on Christmas. I think of an American man who was arrested in October in Turkey. He's lived in Turkey and worked in Turkey for more than 20 years. He was arrested in October just a couple weeks ago. He was charged with terrorism charges. This is an American Christian who's been working and helping people in Turkey for 20 years. Now the government there has labeled him a terrorist, and they say, we're going to put him on trial for terrorism. I think of him separated from his children, separated from his wife. Initially, his wife was arrested with him. She was subsequently released, and so now she's separated from him. He's behind bars, behind walls. And this, for some reason, this Christmas season, that has really struck me, the fact that families are separated by persecution and by prison walls. And how do they celebrate? What's Christmas like for them when you can't really enjoy, opening presents and having a big meal because you're thinking, I wonder what's going on in the prison today. I wonder how my husband or my father is being treated today in prison. That would really make Christmas a challenging day. And for some reason, like I say, this year, that has particularly been in my thoughts and been in my heart as we've celebrated Christmas.
This is it's interesting to think about because we spend so much time, like I said, with family together. And when families are broken up, as is in this case, where some are being falsely imprisoned simply because of their faith, it gives us a perspective of, even if you don't have a home, at least you can have family. But a lot of these people don't even have that opportunity to get together. And these aren't American conventional prisons. These are prisons in Turkey and the Middle East and in Sudan that are very harsh circumstances.
Yeah, they're tough places. And one of the things that comforts me is the stories I've heard of how God works in prison and works with Christians who are willing to be firm for Jesus, even if it means going to prison. And so that's a part of my prayer for these brothers who have been imprisoned. Lord, give them opportunities to witness. Give them guards that are willing to hear the gospel and maybe get saved. Give them other Christians around them in prison who can be an encouragement and be a little bit of that family of God as they are separated from their earthly families during this Christmas season. Because we know God is powerful. His arm can reach inside a prison in Sudan or a prison in Turkey or a prison in China or a prison anywhere else in the world. So that's just a part of our prayers during the Christmas season. Lord, give ministry opportunities, give comfort, and give fellowship to these brothers and sisters as they suffer for your name's sake during Christmas.
Now, during the holidays, it is a time of charity. And in these 12 days of Christmas, we're really emphasizing the importance of being charitable and thoughtful and looking into our communities and seeing those people that are less fortunate, to invite them into our homes, invite them into our churches, to where they can have that sense of warmth and togetherness with us that they might not have on their own. And yet these people are the people that are being persecuted for the faith all around the world. They're outside of our reach. They're right outside of our reach, so we can't invite them into our homes. But there are many things that our listeners can do to think about them and to pray for them. And I know that you have a letter writing ministry to those, especially in prison. Could you tell us a little bit about ideas for those during this holiday season on how they can think about ministering to those who are outside of their reach but still in great need of their love and affection?
Well, you mentioned writing letters, and that really is a key way. The website where we can do that is prisoneralert.com, prisoneralert.com. In fact, three of the four men in Sudan are on Prisoner Alert. You can write letters to them or on their behalf. Another way I would encourage people, and I know it is a season of giving, one of the things you can do through Voice of the Martyrs is give Bibles. And we don't know the total yet for 2016. Probably within a couple weeks we'll have an actual number, but the number of Bibles that we're delivering in 2016 as Voice of the Martyrs is probably going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of 1.2 million Bibles. So that is a very significant number. And in most cases, those Bibles are going to people who have never had a Bible of their own before. It is people living in hostile and restricted and difficult places around the world, and they can't, you know, walk down the street to the Bible bookstore and say, hey, yeah, I'd like a King James and an NIV and an NASB. They can't do that. They can't even get one Bible. And so that's something I would encourage people. You know, if you're looking for something to give, you want to provide help to our persecuted family, we can help deliver Bibles to people who have never had one before. And what an amazing privilege to be able to put God's word in the hands of someone who desperately wants it but doesn't have access to it without outside help.
You know, I think about this holiday season. Well, we do Christmas cards, and we send out sometimes even a letter, an update on the family. I don't know if your family does this, Todd, but I know a lot of families do. They send a whole like 20-page letter about what has been happening with each individual of the family, and they send it out to all their loved ones. What an interesting perspective to add the letter-writing campaign to a prisoner. What a unique perspective that would offer to the family as they think about the opulence of what they've been talking about in that letter they've been sending out to their families, and then the letter that they're writing to those who are so much more less fortunate, but so much more blessed in the sense of understanding the real grace of God.
You know, I love it. That family connection is something we always want to help American Christians understand. You know, it's easy to think of persecuted Christians in some far-off country as, yeah, you know, that's tough. We're sad about that, or we're sorry about that. But that's 10,000 miles from here. I don't know that guy. The reality, though, is the spiritual reality is that is our brother. That is our sister. I have two earthly brothers. In fact, I'm going to be with them and with their families for Christmas. I'm really excited about that. But if one of my brothers was locked in a jail somewhere and was being beaten on a regular basis, you can bet that I would be banging a drum and shouting from the rooftops and writing my congressman and doing everything in my power to say, wait a minute, my brother is falsely accused and is in prison. You've got to get him out of there. You've got to do something to help him. When we understand that family relationship in the spiritual realm, how can we be quiet when our brothers are in prison? They are being beaten on. They are falsely accused. How can we just sit back and kind of say, well, yeah, that's 10,000 miles from here. That is our brother. That is our sister. We've got to do something. We've got to respond in some practical, real, loud way to draw attention, just as we would if our earthly brothers or sisters were being persecuted and abused.
One of the things that we always emphasize as we're talking about how to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world is how to jog our memory to bring us back, because it's easy to live disassociated from them. And unless our listeners are signed up for your Voice of the Martyrs newsletter, then they're not going to be regularly instructed on how to pray for their brothers and sisters. But also, we've always encouraged them to have those triggers in their own day to day, as they're seeing the stories on the news about Aleppo, as they're seeing stories about North Africa or what's happening in Europe, or even in northern Iraq and Turkey. This is an opportunity for us to be moved to pray for our brothers and sisters.
It is a great opportunity. As you watch the evening news, you know, Gracia Burnham, the former hostage in the Philippines, has a great, she calls it her prayer closet. When she gets dressed in the morning, she looks at the labels on her clothes and prays for the country where they were made. Oh, my shirt was made in Bangladesh. I'm going to pray for Bangladesh today. So that's another way of jogging your memory on a daily basis. Let me give you one more. Voice of the Martyrs has an app for your smartphone or your iPad or whatever it is that you carry. The app is called Pray Today. And what it is every day of the year, it has a new specific prayer request for one of the countries where Christians are persecuted. Maybe it's praying for a Christian who's in prison in that country. Maybe it's praying for the president of that country to come to know Christ. You know, a variety of requests. But every day is a new prayer request. And you can actually set a little alarm within the app so that every day at 3:30, it will beep or vibrate and tell you, hey, it's time to take a moment and pray for our persecuted family. That app, again, is called Pray Today. There is also a devotional reading each day, and you can access our VOM Radio podcast directly through the app as well. So that's another way to jog your memory on a daily basis to pray for our family around the world.
And of course, we also want to encourage our listeners to sign up for your newsletter that you send out, because that's so helpful and instructive on how to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Along with that, the challenge to pray, I think our listeners are such great prayer warriors. They've been praying for this ministry for 54 years, and I really think that they'll get behind that in praying for Voice of the Martyrs as well. But the challenge here is we're here now in a new year with all these different things. I think starting the year off with a commitment, a challenge to really have a broader perspective and to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ would be a huge step in seeing great things happening in 2017.
I so agree. I think, you know, as we're thinking about New Year's resolutions and maybe we're thinking about exercise and we're thinking about maybe eating a little healthier, maybe working a little harder, maybe sleeping a little more, let's make prayer for our persecuted family a part of our New Year's resolutions. And again, the Pray Today app is a great way to do that. You mentioned the Voice of the Martyrs newsletter. If people go to persecution.com, which is our main website, you can sign up right on the front page there to receive that newsletter. It's free. We want you to have it. But I so agree. As we start a new year, let's make some spiritual goals too. Let's spend more time reading the Bible. Let's spend more time in prayer. And specifically, let's remember to pray for our persecuted family around the world.
While we're talking about what's coming up over this next year here in 2017, what are some things that our listeners can have on their radar as far as their calendar? I know we always have the National Day of Prayer, in which is in October or November, right?
November. Yep. It's the first Sunday in November, mm-hmm. Yeah. There's two things I would point to. One is International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. That's the first Sunday in November. The other thing that's very significant for us here at Voice of the Martyrs, this October will be our 50th anniversary. The very first VOM newsletter went out in October of 1967. So October of 2017, we will celebrate 50 years. So we have got some things, you know, that we're kind of planning. We don't want to make a big show of saying, hey, look at VOM. But what we want to say is, hey, look at our persecuted family. Look at how faithful they've been. And look at what God has allowed us to do over the last 50 years in service to them and in help to them. So there will be some things as you read the newsletter, as you listen to our VOM Radio podcast, there will be some things this year specifically about that 50th anniversary and just a year of really celebrating God's faithfulness for the last 50 years.
As you've had your pulse sort of on what is happening around the world and you having a closer connection to that because of your ministry than even I have, even just reading all the material that comes out through Voice of the Martyr, you have a unique place in getting a sense of what is happening around the world. And this has certainly been, this past year has certainly been a crazy year. What are we preparing for in 2017? What is Voice of the Martyrs doing to really address a lot of the concerns and the needs that we're foreseeing in what could happen over this next year?
I think, you know, at least early in the year, I think one of the things we're watching is for the pushback of ISIS. You know, we know that there are troops now fighting in Mosul, trying to liberate that city from ISIS. We will see in the months to come how far that pushes. Do they push back into Syria? Do they push into Raqqa? And what's left? As ISIS retreats, what do they leave behind in terms of carnage and suffering and heartache? The other thing that I think, you know, as we start out the new year, one of the countries that I think we're watching very closely is Turkey. We mentioned the American who is in prison there. Turkey right now is under a state of emergency after a coup attempt in 2016. At this point, the government can basically do anything they want. They can arrest anybody they want. They can put into effect any law they want. There is really no check and balance. That is supposed to end early this year, that state of emergency. It will be very interesting to see, okay, does it? Does it end? Does the government restore some authority to the parliament? Does it restore some sense of check and balance? That will be a big question that we're watching early on this year as well.
We've been talking with Todd Nettleton from Voice of the Martyrs, a ministry that has a huge impact in reminding us, especially over this holiday season and these 12 days of Christmas, to remember our brothers and sisters in Christ, those family members that can't join us around the table. And for all of these opulent feasts and present giving, we need to remember our brothers and sisters who are suffering in chains. Todd, thank you again so much for joining us and updating us on how to pray for our brothers and sisters around the world.
You are so welcome, and Happy New Year, and thank you for, again, being a voice for our persecuted family.
We hope you enjoyed this interview made possible by our ministry at Songtime Radio. You can find out more information about our ministry by visiting our website at songtime.com, where you can find this and other interviews on our podcast series, as well as our weekday broadcast, which includes teaching, interviews, and music. We also want to encourage you to sign up for our free monthly newsletter. It's got encouraging articles, and there is no obligation. To find out more information about our ministry, again, visit our website at songtime.com. This ministry is made possible by people just like yourself. We are 100% supported by our listeners. So if you have been blessed today, why not join with the many voices together for that one message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, with your donation to the Songtime Ministry. To make a donation, you can do so online at our website at songtime.com, as well as by mail. Write to us at Songtime Radio, P.O. Box 100, Barnstable, Massachusetts, 02630, or give us a call. Make a donation over the phone. It's 508-362-7070. On behalf of our entire Songtime staff and our own Dr. John DeBrine, the founder here at Songtime, who encourages you to grow in grace and not groan in disgrace, from Cape Cod, I'm Adam Miller. God bless.